Wonderful Spirit of the Lord in the songs and the messages, and the Lord has ministered to my soul. I have a little thought that I'd like to give by the help of the Lord. I appreciate your prayers this evening. I'd like to look at the message that the angels brought to the shepherds. And just read that real quick. It's in Luke 2 and 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This is the message that they brought. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I marvel in that if you look in religion, Christianity, so-called, as a whole, one of these elements is missing in some form in many different areas of professed Christianity around the world. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Jesus, and I want to focus on the part of Jesus coming to all people. He came to you and he came to me. He came to everyone. It was prophesied in many different places. Simeon took him up, the baby, in his arms, and he knew. And people that had studied the scriptures, not just that had studied the scriptures, but were walking in the light that they had, they knew that there was somebody coming that was going to be able to bring everyone in contact with God. This is the message that the angels brought to the shepherds. Also, I'd like to look at who he came to tonight, who he appeared to. He came to everyone, but everyone didn't know about him, all right? That's what I want to look at this evening. If we go back to the 7th verse in Luke chapter 2, it says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. In the 22nd verse, it says, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." In the 24th verse, it says, "To offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now, the law, if you look in the book of Leviticus, the law was that when a man child was born, that there was an offering to be made. And the requirement was a lamb and also a turtle dove or a young pigeon. I don't really want to talk about that much this evening, but the scripture said if they're too poor to bring a lamb, then they can bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so we know that Joseph and Mary were poor, all right? If you want a central thought to kind of connect all this, I want the title of this is Jesus Came to the Poor, all right? Jesus came to the poor. You know, Jesus could have come in any form to any group, pair of parents. He could have come, God could have planned this any way he wanted to. He could have come as a full-grown man with a crown on his head, with a sword in his hand. "I'm coming down here to straighten everything out. I'm coming, you're going to see, look at it and see a little of the majesty of heaven, gold robes and all that." That's not how he came. He came as a baby. With all the things that go along with an infant, helpless, newborn, can't do anything for himself. He came to some of the poorest people in the country. a carpenter and his wife from the village of Nazareth. That's who he came to. And the shepherds that were in the field, you know that, I want to read a little bit more about the shepherds in just a little bit. Think about the wise men. The wise men, people from afar, they knew the prophecies, and they knew some of them anyway. And they came and they said, "Where is he that is born king of the?" There wasn't any doubt in their mind that whether he was there or whether he wasn't. They knew that he was there. They said, "We have seen his star in the east." The shepherds, they were in the field. You know, I don't know who those people were. I don't know what their level of education was. But I can tell you this, that God comes to all who seek him. And the shepherds were there. Maybe they didn't have the same books and the prophecies and the understanding. I'm just guessing, all right? This is speculation. But I'm speculating that the shepherds did not have a high level of education. Well, what did the Lord do? He sent an angel and said, "I bring unto you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Maybe they didn't have all the education. Well, the Lord took them the good news anyway. And the Lord will come to everyone that is in that statement. Simeon, Anna, those people, they knew about it. You know who didn't know about it? The scribes and the Pharisees, the people. I want to read a little bit more about the shepherds. It says, all right, Luke 2 and 12, "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that's another part of the message. I'm giving these as kind of an aside, but the angels brought a great message to the shepherds. It was something that they took with them, no doubt, for the rest of their lives. It was something so powerful, and you know that it wouldn't have mattered after that who told them what about it. Nah, you didn't see anything. What you saw, it was just in your imagination. It was a dream. No, we all saw it. We were in the field. We were keeping watch, and we saw this. And the angel said, "I am coming. I've got some good news for you, and it's going to be to every creature on earth. And it's good tidings of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." You know, the Pharisees and the scribes had in their, they already had their own idea of what the Messiah was going to be. All right? And they were very confident about it. And they knew a lot of prophets. They knew, they probably could quote from memory Isaiah and Micah. And, you know, they knew right off Herod. And Herod didn't know very much. He said, "Where's this guy going to be born?" And they said, "Well, in Bethlehem, because it says in Micah, in Bethlehem." And you know that they had the year, from my understanding, from the book of Daniel. Did he not? Did they not? They had right around the time that he was going to be born. So the shepherds, it says that it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Who all do you think they told? Who do you think believed the story? It's amazing to me that there were people that knew because God revealed it to them. But there were people that were well versed in the prophecies and the scriptures and had not an inkling of what took place in Bethlehem that day. It said, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Jesus came to the shepherds. He came to Simeon. He didn't come, you know, we were having this discussion a little bit last week. And somebody said, you know, I wonder if the scribes and Pharisees, when they heard the news, if the shepherds told them, I'm guessing the shepherds did try to tell him, hey, the Messiah's been born. Can you imagine being a ruler of the temple and some shepherd comes out of the hills and says the Messiah is born? Well, I ain't going to take that from you. I didn't know anything about it. It doesn't. The Lord, you know what? The Lord would have revealed it to us. We are the standard bearers. We have the truth. We have the understanding. We have the light. You're not going to tell us anything. This is a conversation I'm playing out as a theoretically, but I have a pretty good idea that that's kind of what happened. And they pushed it aside, and they went on in darkness. Mary, when she entered the house of Elizabeth, made one of the most beautiful speeches that's in the scriptures. It's called the Magnificat. I think that's how you pronounce that. That's what it's called in the religious world. I'm going to read just a little bit of it to you. Luke 1:46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is holy, he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. I certainly appreciated the wonderful services we've had here. Last night I was sitting in the service and I was listening to the singing, and I know heaven's going to be better, but this is a good foretaste of heaven right here, all right? People can't manufacture. It's the Spirit of God that was working in the midst last night. And that kind of thing can only come from people whose hearts have been washed. You know, I could take a group of people. We could take a group of people that know nothing about God, teach them the songs. There's people outside of here that know music and teach them the songs and everything. But it would not be the same. There was an element here that my soul just basked in. And I was sitting there and I'm not as demonstrative as some, but I got my blessing. Don't make any mistake about that. You know, the Lord has that kind of blessing for everyone. The scripture says that the Lord is no respecter of persons. The scripture says that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. John 1:9 says that Jesus was the light that lighteth every man that come into the world. But we see that there are people who do not take advantage of that. It appears like the light does not shine on them. And so we have people that are of the understanding, the opinion today, that there are some that Jesus did not come for, that he did not die for, whose blood did not atone for. And there's even a song. I was listening. Actually, I had a playlist. It's some songs that I really like to hear. And there's some Christmas songs there. Well, not in that playlist, but there are some really good songs by this person. And one of the songs says, it's a song, anybody want to go to heaven, say I do. Y'all, probably a lot of you know that. Well, they started in on the second verse, and the second verse said, but if you can walk away knowing all he's died to do, then that's when I just have to say, I guess he didn't die for you. Did you know that the scripture says that the angel said, we bring glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you know what that means? That means that you can have victory in your life. You can sit in these services and you can have blessings. And it's not some sort of emotional high. You know that there are, you could go many places tonight. Well, maybe not tonight, but Sunday or maybe Wednesday. You can go many places where you can sit and they have a very well-trained group of people to lead worship. And you can get an emotional high. You know that saved people and sinners both can get that very same emotional high sitting in that kind of a setting. The Lord has something different and better for us than that. It is a result of having been washed and having our soul clean and being able to come and present ourselves for the Lord. The worship services that we hold here are not a one-sided deal. Worship services are a transaction between us and the Lord. On the one hand, we come and we pour out our hearts and we offer the sacrifice of praise. The Lord, Psalm says, enter into his thanks with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And we come and we do that. But the scripture also says, why are you coming to me with these offerings? Your hands are full of blood. The Lord will not bless a person or a collective group of people whose hands are not clean in the blood of the Lamb. I want to go to Philippians, the second chapter, and the fifth verse. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means that he thought not equality with God to be held on to or grasped, something to not let go. He said, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus, one of the first things that we have record of Jesus speaking was when he opened his mouth on the mount and said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees were shut out. Because they had in their minds something that was... I want to get just a little bit more about what they had in their minds. Isaiah 53, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but I'm just going to read a couple verses from there. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Remember the words of Mary? Mary said, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know that if he would have come in a way that was powerful in a human way, and he would have been real handsome and real tall and all those things, you know the Lord did not want us to follow his son because of those kind of things. He wanted us to have our hearts changed. And that's why, you know, that Jesus had no trouble communicating to people when he wanted to. When he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It's not because, and the people were offended, weren't they? You know that Jesus knew exactly what he said and why he said it and what he meant. And he knew when he said it what the hearts of the people. He had said just before that, you don't seek me because of what I really have here. You seek me because you were hungry and I fed you. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. He said, I'm the true bread. And all that, you know, to that point, it all sounded good still. Okay. You're going to give us... They said, Lord, evermore. I believe it was in that same chapter. They said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. We want it. And Jesus said, I'm the bread that came from heaven, that if a man will eat thereof, he may live and not die. And then he started saying, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood,
This is what I'm talking about. And then they started striving together, and they couldn't get that through their heads. Peter came, and they came later, and Jesus said, "Are you going to go away too?" He said, from that time, many of disciples went back, and they didn't walk anymore with him. Jesus asked the others, "Will you go away?" I don't think Peter, I really doubt he understood any more than the others did exactly what Jesus meant by those words. But he knew something. He said, "You've got the words of eternal life." In other words, I don't know where else I would go. I don't understand what you're saying. You know the problem is with those, the people that left, is that they valued their own ideas, their own opinions, their own worldview more than they valued the inner dealings of God. Jesus wasn't just a man walking around, and his conversations with people were not conversations like you and I have. When he pointed at Peter and Andrew, I think it was, and said, "Follow me," it was different than if I were to point at two of you and say, "Follow me." The Spirit of the Lord was dealing with those people and prepared the way before. And when Jesus went to those people, and when he went to Matthew and said, "Follow me," no doubt Matthew had already been in a place that where he didn't know where to turn. He worked for the Romans. He was one of those that were despised. And Jesus said, "Follow me." And there were others that followed him that were able to make themselves. Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you." Jesus came to the poor, all right? Jesus came to the poor. And the poor in spirit, although he came to the poor, but not just to the financially poor. He came to all that will impoverish themselves for the benefit of getting what the Lord has for them. Think about the man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short little man. But it says that he was chief among the publicans. It would have taken, I don't know what kind of trickery and cunning that he used. He probably had a really good mind. He was probably really good at math. He probably was really shrewd. And he was just a little guy. It wasn't going to do him any good to go beat up somebody. And all of a sudden, he's the superior tax collector at the corner of the market. No, he used his brain to do it. And it says that he lacked something. And he knew it. You know what he did? He climbed a tree. And how do you think he looked doing that? Here's the chief of the tax collectors. Maybe he wasn't worried about what all the Jews thought of him. They hated him anyway. Maybe he was, because he was trying to incite fear into them and had been for 20 years. I don't know. But I imagine that some thoughts came across his mind. What about all these other tax collectors? What are they going to think? You're climbing up in a tree like a little child. What do you think you're doing? And he came. The scriptures are full of people that wanted to get to Jesus. Bartimaeus, he had a, it said that he had his coat and he cast it away and he said, I want to get to Jesus. They said, "Be quiet, just be quiet." "No, I'm blind. I want to see." You know, the world is full of people that will not admit that they're blind. What good is that ever going to do? I wonder if Bartimaeus had these ideas. I would like to, what came to his mind? "I want to get married. I want to have a job. I want to be able to do what everybody else does." Somebody, so I can see people say, "Hey, look at that kind of bird." And I can't even see what they're talking about. I don't even know what a bird looks like. I don't know. I don't know what the ocean looks like. I've been there, felt the waves on my feet. I don't know what the mountains look like. I hear people say, "Well, the Lord bless us with a good sunset tonight." I don't have any of that. All I can do is sit by the side of the road with my blanket and my little cup and say, "Have mercy on me. Whoever will give me a penny, that'll buy my lunch." And he cast it away. He said, "This is what I've got. It's not worth anything. I don't care how much noise I make. I don't care what kind of effort I have. I want to get to Jesus. Lord, I want to receive my sight." He made himself poor. And And Zacchaeus did that, and he climbed a tree, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Come down, I'm going to abide at your house today." You know why he said that? Because he knew exactly what was in Zacchaeus' heart. And the Lord knew that Zacchaeus had made himself poor and had thrown away everything that he treasured in order to get to Jesus. You know that every one of us can have Jesus. Yes. And every one of us can have peace. Yes. And joy and victory. But too many times we have these things. I've had them, all right? I know. We want to be right. And we want to look right. And if I go down to the altar, or if I change, if I admit that I was wrong, then I'm going to look like a fool. You know, those things are blown up to be much bigger than they really are. And that people I have found on the whole are much more generous and forgiving than I thought. But even if they weren't, cast away your garment and your little tin cup and come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." I'd like to, I'm just going to get this. Colossians 2 and 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And it says in Ephesians 3 and 8, it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm not turning to these scriptures for the sake of time, but I just want to throw them in there. And in another place, I'm not sure where it is, it said that, you know, that our Lord Jesus became poor, that through His poverty we might become rich. And how do we become rich? By following Jesus' example and saying, "Lord, come to me. Come to me." The Lord said, or the angel said, "For unto you is born this day." He wasn't just talking to the shepherds, but he was talking to everyone that was born from then on after. "Unto you, I can look you in the eye, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, and say, 'For unto you was born this day a Savior.'" And He can help you with all the things we heard about last night. Faith gets up. It doesn't matter how many times that you've fallen. I just want to give us a warning this evening before we sit down tonight. Maybe I'll read two or three scriptures. Talked to a person one time. And actually, I've heard this from a lot of people. Start talking to them about Jesus or whatever, and you know what they'll say? They'll say, "I'm a good person." You know that that's part of what you've got to cast away? You've got to cast any notion of that away. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You're the branches. If you abide in me, you can bring forth much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing." You can do all the good works that you want, what you think are good works. You can have all, but you can't have any kind of change in the heart. And besides that, you might not be doing the things, probably won't be doing the things that the Lord wants you to do in this life anyway. We heard yesterday that the Lord wants us to be a people full of services that to provide to people. How are we going to know what to do? I can come into the assembly here and I can say, "Well, I want to work for the Lord. And so I'm going to finish out the underside of the pulpit here. There's a little access door in there. I'm going to do that. That's going to be my contribution." Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Well, it is, but I'm trying to make a point here. I'm guessing there's some sort of little way to get in here. There is in our chapel. And I could say, "You know what? I'm going to finish the underside. I'm going to finish it all. I'm going to panel it all out. I'm going to put some good lights in there. And if anybody wants to go in there, they can go in there and be in comfort, and it's part of the house of God and everything." But that's the way that people live without the knowledge of God in their life. And they have these ideas, and those ideas keep them from ever getting a hold of the real. Scripture talks about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord has things for you to learn tonight. Revelations 3 and 14. This is the warning that I want to give by the help of the Lord tonight. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Every one of us, when we get saved, we come with all kinds of baggage. And our worldview is not correct. And we have things in our lives that we need the Lord to detangle for us. And when we get saved, that process does not happen in a minute. All right? I believe in living free from sin. All right? I believe in sanctification. I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that the land of Canaan was a type of sanctification. Sanctification is the anti-type. When they went into the land of Canaan, they had some giants to kill, didn't they? Where they lived, they possessed, all right? I don't want you to forget about that. But when we come to the Lord, we have things about us that the Lord's got to fix. And sometimes it takes a long time. Now, because sometimes we hold out, and it takes longer than it should sometimes. Right? And the Lord has to bring a lot of things our way that are unpleasant and painful, but it's all in love. But these people, the Laodiceans, they had reached a point. See, I think that at one time, they were saved. That they got saved. And there are people that, I wonder what their Wednesday night testimony services sounded like. Well, I just thank the Lord for kind of the same style as the rich man versus the publican. You remember that story? Oh, Lord, I just thank you. You know, you saved me. And I just thank you how I'm just such a good person and all that. And they probably didn't say those kind of words. I've never actually heard people say that kind of stuff. But I have heard people that just in little subtle ways pat themselves on the back. And I've done it myself. And so I can say this. The Lord comes to the poor. He came to the shepherds. He came to Simeon. He came to Anna. He came to Mary. He came to the wise men. And he gave them understanding of what he came to bring. And there were people that were right there in the same town, perhaps in the same hotel, not in the hotel because they weren't in there, but, you know, right there. Perhaps 100 feet away, 50 feet away. They didn't have any kind of knowledge, and all this was transacted, and the people, the shepherds came, and later the wise men came, and all this, and they had no idea. And the Laodiceans had, doesn't the scripture say, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead you into all truth? It does. And so why aren't people led into all truth? Some people are, but many people are not. Because you have to be poor to be led into all truth. You have to divest yourself of the notions that are maybe so valuable to you. You have to divest yourself of your care of public opinion. You have to get rid of the notion that, well, the scripture says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I believe that the scripture teaches that for this purpose, Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But we can do things, and we heard a little bit about this last night. We can have a failure in our life, and then we can sweep it under the rug and say, Christians live free from sin, and I'm a... You know what? That couldn't have been. And so I'm going to pass over. That couldn't have been a sin because we live free from sin. And if I say that, if I admit of any wrongdoing, then that means that I'm not saved and haven't been saved and all that. And we tend, and that is the danger. I love the teaching of living free from sin, but there is a danger that we need to watch out for, and that is that when we have a failure in our life, you call it whatever you want to call it, when we have own it and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. That's the time we need Jesus. That's not the time to be running away and denying it and saying, you know what, when we do those kind of things, we are actually lifting ourselves up in a way that the Lord can't get. And that's what happened to these Laodiceans. The Spirit did not lead them into all truth, but He came to lead us into all truth. The Spirit of God was made of none effect by whatever reason, for these people, and they lived. Can you imagine a worse thing than thinking, I know this, and I know this, and I'm in the truth, and I have the knowledge, and I have all this, and oh, the Lord, I'm just so glad I'm in the place that I'm in. And to be miserable and poor and blind and wretched and naked, and not even know it. Can you imagine? You know, the very best thing that we can do is every day say, Lord, search me and know my heart. You know, Lord, I feel this way about this. But Lord, what do you have to say about it? Lord, I did this. And what do you feel about it? Was it the right thing? Was it the right thing to say? If I didn't say the right thing, Lord, I'll go back and make it right. Lord, if I believe the wrong way, Lord, I give you freedom to come and show me where I want to do better. Lord, we heard yesterday morning, I believe, about seeking the Lord until He rains righteousness upon you. When we do that, we are putting ourselves in a place where we're more concerned about the Lord's opinion of things, which really, that's a bad word to use. The Lord doesn't have opinions, all right? The Lord is truth. But we have opinions. I want us to consider the idea of this evening that you are not infallible in your thinking. I am not infallible in my thinking. You can look at something, a situation, and you can reason it out the very best of your ability and be dead wrong. And the Lord wants to come and start saying, you know, the Laodiceans, when they got, if these people, if they had these issues and some of them wrong ideas about this and that, when they got saved, that was fine. But the Lord wanted to start teaching them some things. And instead, they got lifted up. I don't know exactly what happened, but the Spirit of the Lord was not able to talk to them. And so they went, and after a while, He said, I wish that you were either seeking the Lord with all your heart, I'm paraphrasing, or I wish that you would just go ahead and say, I don't have anything anymore. Lord, where'd it go? I don't know what happened. But instead, they were like Samson, where it said, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. And all the things, I just wonder, I would have liked to sit just for my own education and for my own edification. I would have liked to sit in some of their services and see what went on and go home and see the kind of lives that they live. You know, it says that Samson, he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. These people, if they went home and maybe they had replaced elements in their service that was Spirit-led with other elements, that they could still feel what they wanted to feel, and they could get the idea that they wanted to get, and they would listen to the narrative they wanted to hear. That's what the Jews were doing when Jesus came. They had a narrative. They had an idea, and Jesus just went right over the top of it all, and He came to some lowly, poor people, and that is the kind of people that He is going to come to tonight. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not going to quote that right. I have it written down. He said, Whosoever, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And that is something that cannot be done simply in a one-time thing. I humble myself one time. And now I can live whatever kind of proud life I want to. And now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to go and cut down all the people that don't have the same level of life that I do. And no, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You and I, in our dealings with other people, Paul said, for we also were sometimes disobedient, deceived, living in diverse lusts and pleasures, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our Savior appeared. I know I didn't quote that right. But that's the reason that we cannot be on some sort of a religious pedestal this evening. It's because we were all that way. You know that at one time, maybe some of you were deep, deep, deep in sin. And maybe some were not as deep in sin. You know, we were all wretched. We were all wretched. And the Lord wants us to stay in the frame of mind where we recognize, you know, that's what humility really is. It's an assessment of who I am versus who the Lord is. And everything that I do in life is going to be done with that frame of mind. May the Lord help us this evening. You pray for me.